Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Some track to get up there. A few years ago, I got to meet a gentleman. I was at an intentional church conference representing Disciple Heritage Fellowship, and this bald guy came up to me and started speaking out in the foyer, and we had this wonderful, we were talking, and we shared the same barber and this and that, and we had a really neat conversation. We went and sat down next to each other in the general session. They introduced the speaker, and the guy sitting next to me got up and walked up to the stage, and I had no idea who he was. A really fun, personal guy. His name is Caleb Kaltenbach. I've talked about him before, but I guess I should know who the speakers are to conferences before I go to them so I don't make a fool of myself. But he had a really fascinating history, a really fascinating story. He was raised by LGBT parents, and as a little boy, he was taken, his mom would take him to gay pride parades, and he relays how at the end of these parades and where they lived in California, that they would come to the end of these parades and there'd be all these individuals who'd be screaming and yelling at them and condemning them. And at one point he, how vividly he described that some of them threw jars of urine on them at the end, and his, you know, his mother, of course, was very upset, and Caleb was upset, and he asked them, and again, I just remember this so vividly as he described to the packed audience. He said, you know, who are these people? And his mom said, Caleb, these are Christians. And that was a big moment in his life. It was a real defining moment in his life and his young life. So as he grew up with a real animosity against Christians because he felt the condemnation and hate that was levied at his parents. And so he also went to college and decided he was going to join a Christian fellowship kind of undercover so that he could go and expose their hypocrisy. And so he was going to go and make friends with them and learn all their stuff and then expose them for the hypocritical frauds that they were. There was one problem, is while he joined this group, he actually encountered the love of Christ to the point where he became a Christian. This was extremely challenging and divisive within his family. In fact, there was he relays this struggle in a book that I highly recommend that's titled Messy Grace by Caleb Kaltenbach. A fantastic story, a really neat church that he has in California, Discovery Church, doing some pretty fantastic work. It'll certainly challenge you. I know it challenged me in a lot of things and tried how do we engage a society in which we live. Now, we've been going through the book of 1 Peter and examining the Apostle Peter's advice to us of how we can be Christ followers in the midst of a culture that has become more and more hostile towards God's word and Judeo-Christian values, okay? And so what do we do? The question that we want to discuss today is what do we do as Christ followers when our commitment to Jesus Christ and our determination to walk out as a faithful follower of Christ brings us into conflict with those whom we have relationship with, particularly family, friends, coworkers, close relationships that we have with people who have some different understandings of stuff. How are we supposed to walk that out? And that's our topic today. Because our society is rapidly moving away from from the United States specifically, is rapidly moving away from our moorings in a Judeo-Christian morality, okay? Sadly, some who claim to be Christ followers really aren't helping that situation too much with their responses. I'm talking primarily responses of anger and responses of violence. And it kind of undercuts our authority to speak about the love of God when we don't exude it. So, of course, this hypocrisy is picked up on by the world and is used as a tool or as evidence to misrepresent Christ and Christ's teachings. And this further drives a wedge into the divide that we experience in our society. One example, here's a screenshot from a recent Taylor Swift video entitled, You Need to Calm Down. And in the video, of course, there are images of an angry Christian mob, of course, with signs that are misspelled, implying that all Christians are ignorant, uneducated, and hate-filled. The song goes on to say that all Christians would rather kind of live in the dark ages. This is troubling. And so with this particular topic, which is a hot topic in our society right now, as well as the sanctity of life, the definition of marriage, amongst other topics, we see this growing divide in our culture, between our culture and the Christian faith, as Jesus Christ teaches us and as the Bible instructs us. But what do we do when this impacts our relationship, when this strikes close to home? How do we handle that? How do we handle this in a real way? How do we apply Christ's teaching? I hope that we can all agree that Christ does not teach us to throw jars of urine on people whom don't know Jesus or who struggle with Scripture's teaching. I hope that we would all agree that that is a way out of bounds response, right? If not, please schedule some time. I would love to sit down and seriously reason with you, okay? So we can understand that. What do we do when you come to Christ and a dear friend of yours, you know, perhaps you're in school and maybe, a close friend, struggles with an understanding of that. I know individuals who have received Christ and they were married and their spouse was resistant or even rejected that. And it led to suffering within the relationship. I certainly have had my share of relationships that began to really suffer as a result of my holding on to the teachings of Jesus Christ in the manner of which Christ wants me to do. Oftentimes, friendships, relationships, and sadly, sometimes even marriages end because one or both parties are unwilling to endure suffering. Cue the marriage joke about suffering. I know how words that's going to go, but the truth is, in our relationships, there is a certain level of suffering. If you have a relationship with somebody, attached with that relationship, there's going to be some suffering. Now, it's also true that in our self-centered, increasingly narcissistic culture, we have adopted a view or a perception that relationships exist only as conveniences to further meet our needs or improve our lot in life, rather than understand that we are in relationships to give. Everybody say, to give. Part of every relationship that we're involved in is we are called to give in that relationship. And this is especially true for Christ followers. Remember our study on the disciples a few months ago and how so many of them were related one to another. We had families who were turned. One person received Christ, and they began to share Christ. And sometimes that was a process. But we see family units, and we see co-workers, and we see people who are in proximity. Other fishermen who shared a business together. And so the same is true with us. God has you where you are for a specific reason, that you can have an impact in all. Everybody say all the relationships in which you are attached. Relationships are important from a biblical standpoint. Relationships are vital to the fulfillment of God's purposes in our lives. And they are used to develop our character. And so in our lesson today, we're going to see that relationships not only bring joy to our lives, which, yay, I love those relationships that bring joy to our lives. But if we're honest, there is also a degree of suffering that's attached to that. And what I hope to encourage you through the Word of God today is to realize that both are important. Suffering is an important part of our relationships. Parents know, boy, there's wonderful and it's joy, but sometimes there's some suffering. Your kids put you through some stuff. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Would you all join me in reading? I've highlighted a couple of verses and underlined a couple words at the end. So let's all read together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Be subject for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. All right, so for some of us, this is a troubling thing, that we really don't like civil authority. Some of us kind of, maybe we're a little rebellious and we struggle. But the truth is, how do we phrase this? We are, as Christ followers, we should be good citizens. As followers of Christ, we should be good citizens. Civil law is ordained by God. Okay? God has those authorities here on the earth for a reason. Now, I know that some of us, maybe a better way that we could phrase this is, don't be a jerk. Maybe that's just the easiest way. Just cut through the chase. Just don't be a jerk. Civil law is there, and we should respect, and we should be good followers of that. And that we, as Christ followers, also in verse 17, I love, honor everyone. I know we would rather it said, honor those whom you agree with, or honor those whom you think deserve it. But let me tell you something. If you want to change somebody's life, be respectful to them. Honor everyone. That's how you begin to have a position and a place to have an impact in someone's life. I will never forget individuals when I was just a really kind of a punk teenager. I was so used to adults not taking me seriously, and that just irritated me. And I didn't help the matter, because then I decided to have my hair really long. Yes, I had hair, and I had hair really long, and I did. And that my time, it was, have earrings, and so I had long hair and earrings, and rode a motorcycle, and I was just going to put it to the man, I'm going to just. And so I didn't help the matter a whole lot now, right? Some of you, don't look at me that way. You've done worse things than that. Seriously. Oh, my heavens. Got a bunch of choir people around here that, we're not perfect. We're just so perfect, Pastor. No, you haven't. I know you've done some crazy stuff. I've talked to your neighbors and friends. I know some of the pieces. So the truth is, gang, I didn't cultivate that, but I will never forget some adults who I thought, they're gonna respond to. Elmer Bradbury, he's a great example. He's a great example. I remember first time I met Elmer Bradbury, and there were people around, and they were giving me all kinds of grief about my appearance. And Elmer Bradbury went to the back, and he came back, and I don't know, he went and got a little piece of metal and bent it with a piece of pliers and pinched it on his ear and said, "Well, I got an earring too." Elmer Bradbury's okay in my book. And so, Elmer Bradbury got a seat at my table. And I allowed to listen to him. And Ken was the same way. Now I'm going to get all choked up. Okay. So, be respectful to everyone. Not just those whom you think deserve it. And seriously, understand that civil law is here. Now, I get it. We live in a time where there's some civil law that really cuts against the fabric of our grain. And yes, you can have passionate views. Yes, you can have passionate views about political issues according to your faith, okay? According to your faith. But don't lose your faith pursuing them. The love of Christ. It was Martin Luther King who said, darkness does not drive out darkness. Light drives out darkness. Hate does not drive out hate. Love drives out hate. Those are pretty good words, and they resonate with the truth of Scripture, especially here, what we've seen in 1 Peter chapter 2. So don't be surprised. Now, just because a law is passed that we may not agree with, if the law makes something legal that God said is sin, as Christians, we abstain from that still, okay? Why in the world do Christians get upset when the world acts like the world? I've never quite figured that one out. Christians, they just lose their lunch when the world acts like the world, and then they quit acting like Christ. The truth is, Jesus was far more strict, and he was far more upset with, not with the people who were acting worldly, he was upset with people who should know the law and should know Christ who weren't acting in line with the Spirit of God. Are you saying, Pastor, that those things are okay? I'm not at all saying that. I'm saying if you want to be an effective witness of Christ, you got to act Christ-like. So embrace civil law. Embrace these things, but embrace the law and of God above all. And don't be surprised when the world acts like the world. Going on, verse 18 through 21, let's all read this together. Ready? Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so you might follow his steps. All right, so now this moves to a more difficult thing, especially with our understanding of slavery. Some translations that you have are going to start there and say, slaves, be subject to your master. And I know that's a very, very difficult thing, but we have to be honest to a little bit that there's a slightly different understanding of slavery here in the ancient world to what we equate slavery to in the 18th and 19th century transatlantic slave trade. Okay? We're somewhat of a different concept here. The 18th and the 19th century the slave trade was based in this entire concept where it was racially. You had certain races that are determined to be workers, and they were denied education, they were treated horribly, and they were taken and sold as cattle. By the way, the book of Exodus condemns, the book of Exodus, the Bible, Old Testament law, condemns the kidnapping and selling as of human beings. Let's be very, very clear with this. People who say, oh, well, Christians are all about, they're pro-slavery. You don't know what you're talking about. In the ancient world, the concept of slavery by the way, the Jewish people were sold in bondage of slavery in Egypt for 400 years. Plus, they had been held captive by the Amorites, the Philistines. We can go through this entire line of people, read the book of Judges, whom the children of Israel were held captive to. Does God endorse this? They understood in scriptural times that there were people who made economic arrangements. They had acquired debt, whether it be through tragedy or through bad decisions or poor choices, whatever. They had acquired debt. They made an arrangement to pay that off for a certain amount of time. And scripture gave many, many ways for people to get out of that. And every 7 years it was supposed to stop anyway. Then you have your principle of Jubilee, where debts were canceled. Slaves, really, that was the heart and the principle of God. He understands that there's times this happens, but the truth is, it's hard for us to grasp looking through this 18th, 19th century concept of slavery and servanthood from the transatlantic slave trade to this, what Peter is referring to. So it's somewhat different, but sometimes we can relate this to our jobs in a certain way, to people whom we're employed to. So we can say, look, we're supposed to be subject with all respect, not only to the good and gentle. So how many here, actually don't raise your hand, just kind of wink at me. Have you ever had a jerk boss? If they're in the room, I don't want to know if they're in the room. Yeah, Rebecca's not here today. Good. Okay. Just making sure. Whew. Okay. Yeah. You've had these individuals where, how do we respond? We respond like all Christians respond. Because somewhere in the Old Testament it says go to Facebook and just rip them. Go to social media and tell about it. Go to the coffee shop and just talk about how horrible everybody. That's not how we're supposed to respond now, is it? Is it? Oh, we hit a bump in the road today. Okay. We're supposed to respond in a positive way. We're supposed to be, Christ's followers should be model workers or model employees. We should emulate the best. We should be working hard. We should understand those things. Now, Pastor, are you saying that we should endure a toxic environment? Not at all. That's not what I'm saying. You have the freedom, if you have a toxic relationship, to leave those things. But many relationships are toxic because they weren't maintained. And so don't sit there and try to say, oh, well, this isn't good. You sit there and you poison the well for so long by neglect. and then try to say, well, now I hop. No, there's some work that's involved. I have a fish tank, and I have to take care of that aquarium. That means I have to do some work. And if I walk in and say, oh, the water's all nasty, I just need to throw it all away. I need to do some work. I need to get in there, clean the tank, get some fresh water, give it some care, give it some honest, heartfelt care to maintain and keep that going. Relationships take work. Relationships take work. Anybody hear me on that? Relationships take work. Thank you. And sometimes that means suffering. My wife and I are very honest. You know, we look back and we're coming up on our 25th anniversary. I know to be married with me is an honor, right? It's just all perfect. Very great now. She's a good woman because I'm a hard person to be around. And there are some times I'm like, well, I mean, any honest marriage would say sometimes you hit those. I'm not trying to expose anything that's weird, but if we're going to be honest about life, there are some seasons you just got to go through and you have to suffer through. I'm glad that people suffered in their relationships with me. I'm very thankful for that. Amen. Christ followers should be model workers and employees. And that means even when things are unfair. Now, what we can do is we can understand that the Holy Spirit will be at work with us where we can literally change a lot of things around us by our Christ-like responses. And so my first point for us today is this. And I got three quick ones for you. And again, they're quick. Bam, bam, bam. Suffering in relationships helps others grow. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct for their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Now, I know a lot of people right there, a lot of ladies in the room are like, you sexist pig. How dare you? What's the first word in this verse before you get all hoity-toity on me? Likewise. In other words, the principle was already laid out for all people. Well, okay. Okay, so understand that when you are in a relationship, and you receive Christ, this can lead to some suffering. It can be difficult. And so Peter's advice for us is to continue to hold on. And man, this is hard. This is hard. And so I got a couple things because I remember Pastor Jimmy Evans. He has a ministry called Marriage Today. Really good ministry. And part of his testimony is his wife Karen received Christ and he was not happy about it. Pastor Jimmy tells all the time about what a royal jerk he was to his wife when she received Christ, and how she just continued, and he would say things that were rude, and he would be neglectful towards her, and all of these things, and yet she continued to hold on and to pray and to delve into God's word, and because of her faithfulness and suffering in that relationship, he came to Christ. He came to Christ, and now he tries to teach other individuals and other couples, look, don't be like me. Understand how this is. Relationships take work, and some relationships have seasons of sufferings. Those of you who have Netflix, have you ever heard of Lee Strobel? Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter for the Chicago Tribune. His wife received Christ, and as his wife received Christ, he was not happy about that. In fact, his Case for Christ is, I believe it's still on Netflix. And if you haven't seen that, I highly recommend it. Or even better, read the book. But he chronicles how when his wife came to Christ, it was such an issue for him. It was divisive within the house. And he struggled. And finally, she continued to be loving and to be prayerful and to hold on. And as a result, he came to Christ. There are people in the room today who have that same experience. And there are people in the room today who are holding on, praying for that same experience. And we join together with you. A couple thoughts. Never give up hope for a heart to change, but allow yours to as well. Never give up hope for a heart to change. Again, some relationships, they put on the the symptoms of being toxic when the truth is that there were other issues that led into this. Now, I'm not saying or endorsing in any way, shape, or form, you know, abusive relationships. That is not, you come, you talk, we will talk and work things out. What I'm saying is there are times in life where we have friends, we have coworkers, we have families, some of us have siblings, some of us have extended family, some of us have neighbors. And because of our stance with Christ and because of our following of Jesus Christ, it has put a wedge in our relationship where people think we're crazy. Don't ever give up hope for a heart to change. And with that, speak helpful truth in love. Boy, speak the truth, but boy, speak it in love, which means that means we got to give room and we got to give time. Keep your faith greater than your emotions. That is huge for us who have friends and family and other people who don't understand the stance that we have in Christ. Is look, you got to keep your emotions in check. You got to keep your faith greater than your emotions. And perhaps the most important point is never, 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 never stop praying. Sometimes Satan just digs his grasp into people and we need to continue to pray. And there are some people who embrace that grasp. Ah, we're not done yet. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for having to listen to another of the preacher's points. No, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're going to be okay, let's go to Romans 5, the Apostle Paul. It says, more than that, we rejoice. Let's all read this together. Ready? More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Suffering helps us grow. Suffering in relationships helps you to grow. Suffering in relationships helps them to grow, but it also helps us to grow. And my final point, yay, is suffering relationships makes us like Christ. 1 Peter 2:21-22. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. My friends here today, consider, has God been patient and long-suffering with you? If he has been with you, then we are called to be with each other. We are invited to entreat others with the grace that we have received. 1 Peter, let's go on to chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 18. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. When you're going through a hard time, bless the Lord. Bless them. It'll freak them out. There are people in your life, man, they're a pill. But sometimes they're worth it. There are people in your life that are going to take a lot of work. But you were too. I think it's worth it that we endure. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Your relationships, my brothers and sisters, are there for a reason, an eternal reason. And God has you right where you're supposed to be. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.